This is Chat with Deidre, radio show, Beauty Queen Reporter Special, and Miss Florida Reporter Lifetime. And tonight I have a special guest. His name is Jay Brett Salazar. Are you on the line?
Hi, this is Brett. How are you?
Hi. I'm good. How are you? Thank you for calling in tonight.
Absolutely. And thank you for inviting me.
Of course. You know, I definitely have seen you online. I know you're a friend of Dawn, and I was just reading your story, and it's incredibly impactful. So I just would love for you to just introduce yourself and your story about, you know, child molestation and rape and things that you went through in your childhood. If you can just tell us about your story and what you've been through and how that has impacted you and how that brought you closer to the Lord.
Absolutely. I'd be happy to share that. And we love Dawn Reed. She's awesome, and she's so friendly with everyone and just absolutely has such a great positive outlook on life. So I really appreciate her as well. Well, my name is J. Brett Salazar. The J stands for Hyman, but I go by my middle name, Brett. And I was born in Corpus Christi. My father abandoned me at the age of 5. My sister is 13 years older than I, and her father had died. We have two different dads. Her father died when she was a very young age. Mom worked as a waitress trying to make money, trying to pay the bills. We lived from place to place. Mom rented, and it was really hard growing up as a child. So a lot of the times we had to walk, or we get a family ride, or we take the bus, or sometimes the cab. So growing in that life, you know, without the dad, that was the seed of, at the age of, around the age of 5, I only have like 3 memories of him. And one of the memories was we went to, my mom and him went to the movies. I don't remember what movie it was. My, you know, as you get older, you forget something.
Right.
So I sat in between them, and I remember asking my dad if he was my father, and he never responded. So at the time, my mind wasn't fully developed as an adult to understand and comprehend his body language and to be able to understand. But looking back, that was something happened spiritually. That was a seed of rejection that I kind of knew in my heart, but I couldn't explain it. And that caused a lack of or low self-esteem in most of my teenage and 20s and obviously some early 30s. But around the same age of 5 years old, I was molested twice, and they were babysitters. Again, my mom worked as a waitress, so she had to do what she could, and she had to leave me with babysitters. And so one she left me with this one lady. This lady had like, I don't know, she must have been in her early 30s. She had several kids, and I think there's maybe about 5 or 6. I don't really remember the actual number, but I remember there's a lot of kids. And one of her teenage son molested me. The lady who was babysitting me, she went out with her friends for that weekend. I think it was a Friday or Saturday. And so the teenager drew me to the bathroom and molested me. And there was another time where my mom left me with, and it's not my mom's fault at all. I don't blame her at all. I know that she had the best interest at heart trying to look out for me and take care of me. So she left me with another babysitter. It was a married couple, husband and wife, and they were in their 60s. And the wife, I think she left for a little bit to do something, and she came back. But the man had, molested me. So, and the wife had caught him, and she, you know, hit him with the fly swatter. So that was kind of a little bit of different things happening in my life. But where you're talking about, like, the rape part, that part was when I was a baby, my sister was taking care of me. So at that time, this is before, you know, obviously, so my sister was babysitting me. My mom had to go to work, and there was a gentleman that was a neighbor and lived in the neighborhood. And from what I gather from my sister, she had told me some information about this. And so what happened was the young gentleman was watching the house and just like waiting for that special moment to go in and, you know, take advantage of the babysitter. And so that's what happened. My mom left for work, and the guy came in and saw me on the floor with the blanket, and picked me up and put a knife on my throat and basically said to the babysitter, I will kill him if you don't sleep with me. So she had no choice. And she felt she had no choice, and she kind of pretty much did what she did.
Wow. So all that is very heavy, and it's interesting because people go through things, and all of that is completely out of your control. And I feel like when people go through certain things like that, a lot of people kind of get mad at God and tell him that it's his fault, and they turn their back away from the Lord. And for you, you're very vocal about being a former homosexual. So would you say that the things that you experienced in your childhood and, like, having your father not there for you and molested by men, that led you to the homosexuality, and how did you get out of that?
Okay. So I had the early same-sex attraction feelings at a very young age. As early as I can remember, it was probably 7. And I played with other kids. We played the roles with, I was around maybe 8 or 9, played with my neighbors, and we played house, and we ended up playing the house, the husband and the wife thing. So that was interesting, but nothing happened, as far as having sex or anything. But where I first had sex with, a guy was probably in my early 20s. In high school, I was too afraid to come out because there was, people that were judgmental, and I had low self-esteem already from the broken confidence, father left, and didn't believe in myself. And so going through that process, when I finally ended up moving from Corpus Christi, where my hometown was, I dropped out of high school my senior year first semester, ended up moving to Abilene, Texas, and that's where I ended up about a year later after that, where I actually came out and started going to the gay bar, and then met a gentleman, and then, we build that relationship. But it was more at the moment, I felt, looking back, most of my relationships with men were unfaithfulness, because I honestly... growing up as in a Christian household, loving Jesus, but I loved sex more than I loved Jesus, and I wasn't following the Lord. And so when I started dating the first gentleman, it was kind of like a little kid going into a candy store. You're like, you have all varieties of different things. You're experiencing different kinds of friendships, building relationships. You're also, having a boyfriend and learning their personality, their characteristics, and they seem like it was a family, but sometimes situation in my heart, I knew that it was wrong, and I felt like something was tugging on my heart and telling me, but I kept ignoring that tug in my heart. So going back with all the relationships, I was unfaithful, and I think looking at it now and for the past several years, I would look at my boyfriend at the time as a protector, something that I was lacking from my father. And I saw some common similarities, thinking, okay, my question is, why do I feel this way as back then as a gay man? Why do I have these strong same-sex attractions, God? And I did pray, and I said, I don't understand, but I'm feeling like I'm really drawn to these men. And so at that point, I started putting some of the pieces together, and the enemy plants seeds in your life to kind of get you off the wrong road, and he has he influences certain things, but he uses the brokenness. You know how God will use your brokenness and turn it around to heal you, but the enemy uses your brokenness to keep you broken, and even to help make you go into a deeper dive of brokenness so that you don't acknowledge God and ask him for help and be in that place of, hey, there's no God. You enjoy your flesh, enjoy the what you're feeling right now, being with a gentleman. This guy is protecting you. This guy is nurturing you, doing stuff, and you're having fun. So, but I knew in my heart it wasn't happy. But overall, I had turned my back 3 different times on the Lord. And I remember when I first came back, when I truly in my heart began to understand that I accepted the Lord and I experienced him in the church called Victory Church in Abilene, Texas. And that was in 90, 8 in August, and I remember I had just broken up with a guy that I was with for about almost 4 years, and we had broken up off and on for the last 6 months, and this guy was the third guy since I had lived in Abilene, and this is the guy that I thought I was going to marry, but we had some relationship issues. We would constantly argue at certain things, and for me, I wouldn't trust him, and because and I only cheated on him once towards the end of the relationship because I got tired of being treated like crap, and I was just feeling like, hey, you know, this is obviously not the guy I'm going to marry. So during that time, I was at a friend's house. We had just broke up with that. I had broke up with that gentleman, or we broke up, and I was crying. I was telling my friend about it, and he said, "Well, you can sleep in the front room in front of the house. You can stay here for the weekend." And it turned out that my ex-boyfriend that we just broke up showed up, and my friend came in the room and said, "Hey, your ex is here." I'm like, "You know what? That's okay. I'll just shut the door and whatever." And so, because I didn't want to be alone. And it wasn't because I wasn't depressed or anything. I just wanted to be around people. And I didn't want to be around my family because my family, some people don't really accept it, didn't accept that at the time. So I stayed in the room crying that night. And my friend and my ex-boyfriend had brought someone else. And they were in the back. They were chit-chatting and watching a movie and stuff in the back entertainment room. And so I remember crying on the bed. And I was just crying myself to sleep. And I said, "God," I said, "I really need you to change me. I need you to keep it real with me. I need to know the truth. I'm having struggles. I don't understand everything, but I need you to bring mental clarity, spiritual clarity to what I need. And I need to know it's you without a shadow of doubt, that there's no compromise, manipulation." And so what happened was my ex-boyfriend's friend was going to this Victory Church that she invited me to. And this is all happening within the first few weeks. So I ended up going to the church, and I didn't say anything. I was just observing. When I walked there, I felt this indescribable peace, this presence. And I'm not saying never experienced that. I know I probably experienced that as a kid, but I didn't recognize it. But because I was already so broken emotionally, which is a lot of baggage I was carrying, low self-esteem and just, confused. I ended up giving my life, ended up going to the altar and accepting Jesus into my heart. And at that moment when I was doing that, I felt like there was the presence was stronger. And I felt like these boulders or heavy weight on my shoulder lifted up. I've never experienced anything like that. And looking back was because I was so hurt that I was literally crying to God that I said, I wanted you to show, I remember my prayer, I want you to be real. I want you to show me that you're real and help me. And he did. And so I was on fire. There was this fire in my heart, this passion for the Lord, like I've never experienced. Like he increased my zeal. And he was showing me that he was there and that he was the one going to help me to love him more. He's going to help me open up my heart and really guide me into the truth. So for the few months, I end up, I found Christian songs and I started listening to a lot more. I threw out my previous old dancing club music. And so at that point, I end up falling down again back into my ex-boyfriend when he started coming around. And then that lasted not even a few months. We got into argument, and then I ended up getting out of that relationship. And then I ended up getting into another relationship and moving to a different city, which is Dallas-Fort Worth area. And then that was when things got a little worse because that was me turning my back on the Lord. And so when I went to the Dallas-Fort Worth area, I ended up working for a couple of doctor's offices and just really focus on getting myself together and living with this new boyfriend. And I stayed with this new boyfriend for about a year and a half, and he was he had anger issues. And so basically sometimes like I would instigate it too. So it's not always one party, it's usually two in my situation. So, you know, there was time that he punched me in the forehead, and he's a really nice guy, and I don't want to say anything negative about him, but I think, you know, I did push those buttons at that time. And And because I wasn't unhappy and I wasn't able to talk to anybody, and I think there was frustration coming from my heart because now I was torn because I experienced the Lord. And so I kind of hid and pushed the Lord back in that back burner, even after I experienced what I experienced at Victory Church, the fire, the passion for the Lord. I was really giving in to my fleshly desires. And so from that point on, about a year and a half, I ended up leaving this guy. And I said, you know what? This is it, Lord. And I planned my way out. I saved money. And I said, okay, that's it, Lord. I'm leaving. And so the end of January of 2001, I decided to leave the relationship. I was packing my stuff in my car. I even went several months before that. I went shopping to load up my trunk with bathroom accessories and all that stuff because I was already purchasing my apartment, ready to move in by February 1st, 2001. So I finally did. I left, and as soon as that happened, I began to see the Lord orchestrate my steps again. And this is where He was showing me His faithfulness. Out of all me being disobedient, me, stepping on His name, meaning disrespecting Him because of the experience that I felt, kind of like, you know, if you walk on a mat and it's nice and clean, you keep walking in dirty, muddy shoes and you don't clean it, you're just like walking all over it and disrespecting Him. And God doesn't hate us. God is a God of love, and He's so patient. And just looking back in that time, He's connected me with a friend of mine at the Autumnwood Apartments, who are good friends now, and she ended up inviting me to the Potter's House in Dallas, Texas, with Bishop T.D. Jakes. So I ended up going to that church, and I ended up immediately started plugging in. So I knew that I needed to get grounded in the Word, in the Bible, and I needed to surround myself with biblical like-minded individuals that keep it real and that are honest, genuine, that love you, and that are in this together as a kingdom family. So I ended up getting into the Bible Institute that the Potter House had offered in the evenings, fruit of the Holy Spirit, things about Jesus and people that break it down for the Bible. And I ended up getting into the homeless ministry, which was called Raven's Refuge at the time, where we would meet every Friday night. Go out to Dallas. But there was the March, the next month was coming up, and there was a Bishop Noel Jones. It was a revival week, and I think it was the first or second week of March of 2001. And I remember saying, you know what? Let me get these flyers. So I got flyers for this event. Started making copies because I had ran out, and long story short, I ended up going to Dallas in the Gary area. I think that's what it was called. It's Oakland. It's in that area, and there's a bunch of gay clubs and stuff like that. So I started going out there and handing out these flyers to invite people to come to the revival in March at the Potter's House. I felt the Lord had directed me to do that, and so I did. And so going in with my history and learning with the Lord, that was, I realized at that time, I said, okay, I turned my back on the Lord, but now I'm doing things, I'm getting plugged in, I'm staying focused. And so I still dealt with the feelings, wanting to sleep with the man, but it wasn't as strong as it was before. Until years later, I got my eyes off of the Lord little by little, and then what I mean by that is I left Texas, went to Michigan for a few months. The Lord had directed me to say, okay, it's time to leave Texas. So I did leave what I know. And so I went to Michigan for a few months, and then I ended up in Florida in 2003. And so it was that following year, I was living in Sarasota. I was working. And I started having these feelings of, okay, I'm not plugged into a church. I've been to several churches. I'm not feeling connected. What's going on? I feel like I'm in the wilderness. I don't know anyone that I can relate to in my situation. Who can I talk to? And so I end up finding this one where in Tampa, there's Mark Culligan, and he's a former homosexual. I end up connecting with him in Tampa, and went to his meetings at different churches that they had the same-sex attraction individuals that just left and that were honoring the Lord and wanting to seek the Lord and all that. So I ended up going for a couple months, but then I ended up backsliding again. And so I had this desire to go to clubs. So I was there. I go putting God back in the back burner. And so I ended up going to the clubs from Sarasota to Tampa, hanging out, staying with new people that I just met. And I began to have a lot of fun. And I ended up going to clubs by myself. I didn't have an issue because my confidence was growing. And so I just went out and ended up getting into relationship. And just a long story short, I've been through since then. Every time I got back, turned back from the Lord and went back into the situation, it got worse. I had one gentleman that I was for 6 months, and he was physical abusive. And then I'm getting out of that relationship because he gave me like six stitches on above my, I think it's above my right eyebrow or left eyebrow. I don't remember. And then I ended up getting another long-term relationship and for 4 years, and I wasn't happy. And I was just like, okay, God, you have to do something. Here I go again. So finally I got, I ended up breaking, well, me and this guy were together for 4 years in Florida, and we broke up in 2011, and it was a mutual agreement. He's a great guy. Love him as a friend, as a brother now, always have since our breakup. And I remember the Lord waking me up in December and saying, hey, it's time to come back. And so I did. And so I was living in the balcony and with my ex-boyfriend, with his new boyfriend. And I just got up and I just said, okay, Lord, I opened up the back door and I went onto the balcony and I just got on my knees and just started crying. And I just said, okay, God, listen, we're going to have an open, honest, transparent conversation here. I'm not holding anything back from you. You know everything. You know my past conversations, my past prayer, my prayers to you, my relationship with you, and I have not been faithful in certain things. I said, this time I want our relationship to be open, honest, and transparent. I know that you're that way, but I need you to help me to build my relationship with you, to stay focused with you, on you, to be committed to you like never before, to be faithful to you, and to recognize certain things, but you're going to help me grow, and you're the one that's going to be there to hold my hand the entire process. So I was really, really letting all that loose, because with that thought and pause on that moment, going back a few months before, I had a DUI, or 4 months before, I had a DUI in August 2011, so I hit rock bottom.
Yes, that's all the time we have for tonight, Brett.
Okay, all right, sorry.
That's okay, thank you so much. God bless you and your story, and we'll keep sharing it.
Oh, you too. Thank you so much, and have a great, blessed night.
You too, bye.
Hi, this is Patty from Soap This. I just want to announce we have our next event December 4th. It's Young and the Restless Actors, plus Jacob Young, who used to be on Bold and Beautiful. The actors are Jordi Villasuso, Sean Dominic, and Jacob Young. To get tickets, you go to soapthis.ticketleap.com. The event is December 4th, and come and have a great time and meet these great actors. Again, soapthis.ticketleap.com.
Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tan Talk Radio Network.
Teresa Velasquez. This is Hollywood Connections Beauty Queen Special with Dawn Reese. My name is Teresa Velasquez, a former World Classic Miss Tourism 2019, and I love pageants. I'm always doing pageants. So that was Lee Knox with his song "Better for You." Is the name of the song. He is amazing. He is a musician, singer, composer. He plays an instrument. He is just great. He's a producer. So that was Lee Knox. You will hear him a little bit later towards the end of the show. Our topic for tonight is on childhood cancer awareness. We have Deborah Hemmer and Jeanette Erwatt and myself talking about this topic, very important topic. It's something that affects many people. And all different kinds of cancers. This is the Childhood Cancer Awareness Month. And there's organizations and nonprofits such as St. Jude's, American Cancer Society. There's fun runs. I did a fun run a while ago, January of 2021. It was so much fun. It was a family-friendly community event benefiting the St. Joseph's Institute right here in Stockton, California. I was able to select any route in my neighborhood, anywhere, park, treadmill. I decided to go to the University Park here in Stockton, California, and did a video on that. So they send you, they give you a t-shirt and, you know, just a little bag. It's really nice. So anyway, those are some things that you can all do, be part of. You can donate to the nonprofit. We have Deborah. She wanted to talk a little bit more about that. How you doing, Deborah?
How are you, Teresa? Good to hear your voice.
Fine, fine. Thank you.
Well, you've covered a lot already, but I wanted to point out, too, why it's so important. I was looking at the St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital website. It has so much up there. And they have this startling statement that says that the reason it's so important to bring awareness to pediatric cancer is because it remains the leading cause of death by disease for children under the age of 14. That's pretty terrible. So though they've made a lot of strides with research, and they are making a lot of improvements and helping children that way, it's just that it's still that situation that still exists that way, that it's still the leading cause of disease by death for children who are very young. So that's why it's so important that we get involved, as you were just saying. And, of course, there's so many other things you can do, too, that we discussed, as well as the fun runs, which they did, too, a virtual one. And you can go to stjude.org to find more about what they do.
Yes, you can go over to the website.
Right, you've been there. And, of course, going gold, the symbol is the gold ribbon, which we know. And so it's the end of September, which is the Child Cancer Awareness Month, the official month. It's been pointed out, too, on different websites about this, are very supportive of children, that it's all year. I mean, it doesn't have to end because it's September 30th. We want to keep this going all the time. So you can click on places on the website to get involved, such as the Cure Childhood Cancer website, which is curechildhoodcancer.org. And click on Get Involved, and you'll find a lot of ways you can do that by getting together a boredom buster bag. You can follow that program up there. They're very happy when people go to their websites and get involved that way. And other ways, too, that I found, of course, is a nice little basket you put together with toys and things that children miss when they're away from home, like little fuzzy socks or stuffed toy animals and things like that. Coloring books are a wonderful way to get their minds
off right.
The treatments they're going through, because they're away from home often. Usually, unfortunately, a lot of the cancer pediatric hospitals are not in their own city. So they have to travel back and forth, and they're away from home for quite a while in many cases. So that helps to create a little basket, and you can find ways that can be done at a pediatric hospital near you. Or if not, go to the website where you can involve the program, as I just mentioned, the Cure Cancer, Child Cancer.
Can you mention that again, that website? I'm looking for it.
Yeah, curechildhoodcancer.org. It's capital C-U-R-E, is really emphasis on the cure. And they have a boredom buster bag program. But that's kind of common throughout most of the websites you find up there about cancer and about childhood cancer, ways to help. And you can click on ways to help or get involved, mainly, and that's where you find a lot of the ideas. There are many ideas out there. Other ways, too, are to create community fundraisers that we can...
Fundraisers, yes.
You know, our own events in our own communities, and donate that way to these various organizations that always put the money to good use, and also get involved in other ways as far as social media. They're very much like the idea of going up there, and they have ways to connect you on one of the websites I was reading about, called American Childhood Association, Childhood Cancer Association. It's really a fantastic website that shows you other ways to help children, and they're very strong on, I think, that's the one that's strong on social media.
What's the name of it? What is it again?
The American Childhood Cancer The American Childhood Cancer Association. And they tell people how social media can be such a big help to children who love to receive encouraging messages when they're traveling back and forth to the hospital. They look up things, you know, they all have their little gadgets, devices, phones, whatever. And those messages can be created, or you can find out ways to interact through them. So they will put messages up there for their website to use for the children to read. And it makes them feel less alone in their daily struggles, they say. And it's really a fantastic way to help also. So social media, very strong on that one. American Childhood Cancer Association does that, and many other things, too. And, of course, other ways to get involved would be the giving your time all the time, as I've said, look for a local pediatric hospital. but also get your workplace involved, perhaps. You know, get a volunteer.
The workplace is a good idea.
Event. Organize
event.
Fundraising event, your workplace, and always create awareness that way by not forgetting about it, even though September ends. So it's a lot you can do and a lot of places to get help for the children. And if you do have a child that has cancer, financially can be very draining. So I would
absolutely
different ways you can find.
So I wanted to go into talking about some of the things that our next guest, Jeanette Elrott, she's a wonderful lady. She's done a lot of fundraisers. She has a musical family. She's done the Ducky Derby at the Boys and Girls Club. She's raised money in the late 80s, she mentioned. She's involved with St. Jude's. So I wanted to introduce you to Jeanette Elrott. How you doing, Jeanette?
I am doing great, Teresa. It's nice to talk to you tonight. This is great.
And she's also a beauty queen. She is, give us your title. And she has previous titles. Her present title.
My title is long. People say, how do I describe this title?
It's talent. She's a beauty talent.
Well, it's Ms. Tourism, and it's World Tourism Ultimate Grand Supreme 2022.
Right.
So that was my title.
Right. And so, you know, they judge you in different categories and different things that you did, monologues, singing, and that you were the ultimate winner for that. So that's the title at the World Tourism Pageant. It is held in Tennessee, and a lot of fun. You get to meet a lot of girls there and just have fun with them. Anyway, Deborah talked about cancer and the places that help the organizations, nonprofits, St. Jude's, American Cancer Society, and I mentioned the fun runs and I had done that. What have you done before and presently? I know you are a Christian and you enjoy doing these things to help others.
Absolutely. I'm just one of these people that gets out in the community and does what I can to help others. But in the past, I've been very fortunate because I moved to Tennessee 26 years ago. But before I moved here, I had the opportunity to volunteer in my community, and I always describe myself as volunteering anywhere between the American Cancer Society and the United Way. And if someone set up a fundraiser, they would call me and ask me to participate. And one year back in the late 80s, I was the chairman of the hospital ball. Called it the Pink Ball, and we raised $40,000 for equipment for the cancer wing. And that particular year, I was in Mrs. Michigan, and I won the Community Service Award, and that was quite the honor.
It sounds like it, yeah. That's wonderful that you're involved with fundraisers and you raise so much money, and that's just great. And definitely, we need to do more for this cause and, you know, help those with cancer. My dad passed away from cancer, and I know people right now that are, you know, friends that have cancer. And it's awful, you know, it's awful to know this. St. Jude's, I know they share their research with doctors and scientists, you know, to help the kids. So that's a good thing, all the discoveries that they make. So I hope that continues. And we need to continue doing our part as far as fundraising and just, you know, doing as much as possible to help out. I know we have a beautiful song by you called People Need the Lord. And
yeah.
I wanted to play that, too, in a little bit. I also wanted to mention that Deborah has a group, a Facebook group, Celebrating Jesus, and she wants people to talk about the Lord. And Deborah, could you tell us a little bit about that group that you have?
Yes, of course. I formed a group that I wanted because I wanted to honor Jesus, because so much goes on during Christmas that, although good things, I feel he's often overshadowed by so many other things that happen too. And so I created a group called A Celebration for Jesus that is going to be on Sunday at 7 p.m., October 3rd, that is really meant to honor Jesus as though he was coming into your home. And it'll be done via Facebook video chat, because that's what we're
doing. That's wonderful.
Again, based on the idea that we don't want to get together too soon yet with, you know, the Delta variant out there. But it's to honor the Jesus and to share about ways he's impacted your life and how you feel about him, to share as though he's right there with you. And I've encouraged people to put decorations out on their tables as though they would for a special guest. So it's like he's the guest that you're inviting into your home.
Yeah, because it's video, so they can see you.
Right. And then we'll be sharing also on video chat this time, that way, with each other about what we're doing. And say a prayer and special readings and songs. And also talk to him.
Yeah, and tell, ask the Lord to,
yeah,
you know, cure this cancer. And this is the time with the pandemic and everything. You know, this is the time to, I think, you know, reach out to the Lord, because it's been awful. So cancer is a really deadly disease. So, you know, I think reaching out to the Lord and praying is always helpful.
Yes, and of course, he always likes being invited to people's homes, Teresa. And of course, Jeanette, in the Bible, he was always invited, and often invited, you know, Mary and Martha, and even invited himself sometimes to the home of Zacchaeus. But he loves people, and still does.
Right, sure, right.
Having that faith.
So anyway, with that in mind, let's play Jeanette's song, because her song, what's the name of your song? It's written by Steve Green, and it's a duet with Jim Worthing. And this is with Jeanette Elrott, and it's, the name of the song is "People Need the Lord." So, can we get that song on?
Every day they pass me by. I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go through private pain, living fear to fear. Laughter hides their silent cries. Only Jesus hears. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of with one who's lost.
through His love our hearts can feel all the grief they bear. They must hear the words of life, only we can share.
People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, He's the open door.
He's the
song. Wow, that's wonderful. We needed that.
I just lost my brother on the night to cancer.
Yes, you had mentioned your dad, your brother, and he died of cancer.
Yes. So I dedicate my time this evening to his memory this evening.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely, that's wonderful. I lost my dad, you know, to cancer, as I mentioned, and it's an awful thing, you know, to lose a family member. So I could imagine what you're going through, and So sad to hear that, and sorry for your loss, and you know, rest in peace. God bless him, and you know, we just have to keep the Lord in mind and reach out and pray, and you know, and we ask for the best. It's possible, and I would say my Our Father at night. So,
Well, my brother's in a better place right now.
He's probably a lot of pain, right?
Yes, he's at peace right now.
That's a good thing, because I know they go through a lot of pain and suffering and all that. Wow. So, anything you wanted to add regarding any organizations? I know there's, I was looking through, while the song was playing, I was listening to it, and I was searching for virtual runs, fun runs, and there's a whole bunch on the runguide.com/north-america/runs/virtual. So if you don't want to, you know, go to, you know, where there's a lot of people, because usually these runs are, there's a lot of people, but there's a lot of virtual ones going on now, and you can go to this website, and there's so many. There's a Chuck Norris Challenge Metal Dash Virtual Run, May 1st, December 31st. I that's looking at the bottom, closer to the bottom, but there's one for Halloween, October 31st, November 15th. Sunday to Monday. I don't know what it's benefiting. I'd have to look into it. But Road to Hana virtual challenge. So they have all kinds of different virtual runs for all kinds of organizations.
Other things too.
So just look and see what they have. You know, get involved. Do something. Find out how you can be part of this. This wonderful thing the wonderful things that we can do to help, you know, with the curing of cancer, especially, not especially, but, you know, all kinds of cancer, not just for the children, but
all kinds of cancer. I hope they wipe it out. I'm so tired of, you know, losing friends and family to that. So we wanted to play. We have a few minutes. Did anybody want to add anything else to?
Yeah,
just want to play a song by Lee real quick.
Briefly, Teresa, I want to mention that you can get really good free resources at the American Childhood Cancer Association. And it's so important. And also emergency help at the Cure Childhood Cancer website. So that is a help for families who are struggling when they go through all the financial strains of fighting the disease, but also having to pay for all these costs of transportation.
Right.
Otherwise.
Hey, also, Jeanette, excuse me, Deborah, Jeanette, you had mentioned there was a fundraiser that you were doing with your musical family. I think you mentioned something like that.
Yes, actually, my brother was very involved with the food pantry in my hometown up in Michigan, and we are going to have a food pantry fundraiser up in Michigan, and all my family is musical, like you said, and we're going to, of course, give back to the community that way. So it'll be in his memory, and so we're planning on doing it next spring or summer.
Sounds like fun. That sounds like something wonderful to do for your brother and for the community. So anyway, I think we're getting closer to the end of the show. We wanted to play some of Lee's song, the end of Lee's song. So, yeah. Okay, God bless.
God bless. Thank you.
I smile when the tears fall. You're my strength I need when I've given my all. You're the lifter of my head when I can't look up. You remind me what you've said when I've had enough. So you're my reason. I just wanna be better when it comes to loving you. No one loves me better in every way you do. I just wanna be better. Just wanna be better for you. I just wanna be better when it comes to loving you. No one loves me better in every way you do. I just wanna be better. Just wanna be better for you. I just wanna be better.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.